And we're live. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Mr. Matt Christensen.
Thanks for having me.
It's absolutely a pleasure. As we were just discussing before we started recording, you're one of my OGs. I've been watching you for as many years as I think I've been watching anybody, back when you were doing your like solo sort of breaking down whatever the news was of the day. On, I think your channel had a different name before you went with Matt Christensen. Am I correct there?
Well, you're probably talking about what was like an awkward phase in my YouTube time.
Aren't they all?
Because I started out doing video game stuff and it was all Call of Duty stuff. And then I moved away from that, but I still wanted to be on YouTube. So I used my gamer tag, and my gamer tag was Skag3. SKAGG3. Okay. So the channel was that, and I was still working like a job that I didn't want them to catch on, you know? So right. I went by a different name. And then once I decided to go all in, then I just went by my name. Yeah. But yeah, you're talking like 2015, 2016. Mm-hmm. So thanks for sticking around for as long as you have.
It's, you know, you make it easy, but I think it's a lot of, we're around the same age. I'm probably a little bit older than a few people in this sort of game, but I think a lot of people went through a very similar kind of evolution from that time, 2014, 2015. As I said on my last show, you know, I was that sort of normie. I voted for Trudeau. I live in Canada. I was that guy. And thanks to creators like yourself and other people who, you know, I think you've done a great job of, again, this is kind of one of the reasons I really wanted to have you on the show, because you're one of my favorites, because you've had that very sort of straightforward, analytical, honest approach of like, I just want to know what's going on and tell the truth. And watching what if you are paying attention, what's really going on, and then how it's being projected in the media, and how those can be two completely different worlds. And then that sort of ends up shaping your perspective on stuff and leads you to places where you're like, okay, what am I? And I think,
yeah, well, it sounds like maybe we're coming from a similar spot then, because of course my mind was changed really in the window that you're talking about when you were watching my channel under the different name. You know, I was a good boy Democrat voter, and I thought the Democrats were the good guys, and that's not right. Me necessarily saying the Republicans are the good guys. It's just that was the world I was in until about that time frame. And once you start seeing, like, for me, the big lie has that election connotation, but the big lie right. for me was the free speech stuff. And when I saw, specifically for me, when I saw a leftist activist shut down a Trump event in Chicago by force, and that was celebrated, and I didn't like Trump at the time. I've never been like a irrational Trump hater, but when Trump first arrived on the scene, I thought, who's this like loony guy with his crazy ideas about.
There's no shortage of valid criticisms of the man.
Yeah.
At the time, I was watching Young Turks unironically. And they weren't. Okay, not everything was a lie. Right?
I thought we had common ground, but that was never.
It was
never
only
me.
For Jimmy Dore. If that's
you know, and maybe I'm too harsh on Jimmy Dore, because my first Jimmy Dore experience was seeing him spit on Alex Jones at the RNC. And I was actually at the RNC at the time. I was not at that event, but I was somewhere in the general vicinity of that. Yeah. And so I've always had a negative opinion of him because of that. But he seems I'm not a regular listener, obviously, but he seems fairly sane even to this day, or at least gets it on a lot of big topics. But yeah, for me, it was like, once I saw my team shutting down a politician's speech by force and then everyone cheering that they had done this, that's when my mind started working like, okay, I know we don't like Trump, but are we really the shut down a guy's speech type people? And everyone's what if they're that wrong about that, what else are they wrong about? And it's been a perpetual chain ever since then.
Yeah, well, even just to the my team comment, because being a liberal in 2000 to 2012, 13, like we weren't wrong that they were in a sense kind of the good guys. Like I was 20 years old, 21 in 2001 when 9/11 happened. I think it was 2001, right?
Yeah.
Close there. And, you know, I learned about politics in the Bush era, and the conservatives were nuts. And so it was sort of that natural default. If you're a kid who doesn't really have much wherewithal and you're just sort of paying cursory attention to what's going on in the world, you're looking at these guys and they're straight up lying us into war.
Yeah.
And then the answer to that was this great Black Jesus. I think that's some Tripoli's term, but
yeah.
Totally.
My views about how the Iraq war was conducted are fairly similar now to what they were when I was at the time, 17, 18, 19 in there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I definitely take your point on that, that me coming to the conclusion that the Democrats were the good guys was largely around that. And, mm-hmm. and those,
it wasn't irrational. At the time.
That particular issue is held for me since then. It's everything else that they've gone crazy on. And the people that seemed crazy at the time, I always give a shout out to Rick Santorum, because Rick Santorum was the guy warning, like, hey, if we start messing with all these social norms, we start pretending that men are women, and we start, you know, pretending that marriage has no real definition and it's whatever you want to make it, pretty soon everyone's going to be marrying dogs and it's going to be chaos in the streets. And I remember,
next thing you know, there's going to be men in the women's bathroom.
Yes.
Bedlam.
I was like, this guy's loony. It's just like gay people want to get married. And that, I mean, I'm not even saying that gay marriage itself is the same thing as all of those necessarily, but the way that he warned about accepting certain premises leading to other crazy outcomes, I think has been mm-hmm. largely true. And so I look back at a lot of those people I considered to be like crazy Christian fundamentalist type people. I'm like, when you're right, you're right. You really called that one. I have to admit it.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you get into the, is it a broken clock kind of thing? Because as anyone who's been following my previous show knows, I was raised Christian fundamentalist very strictly. And I kind of left that on my own and became the normie liberal, left what was a cloistered childhood and left everyone I knew behind to sort of go out into the free world. And I thought I had found the good guys. And I was like, oh, because I wasn't a big fan of the Christians I grew up around, because like all people, they're also flawed. And I think maybe it's just a part of that natural rebellion of being a teenager, where you don't want to be around the people that you're around growing up. And and then sort of watching the way the world has turned in the time since then, you go, they were right about a lot. And I don't know if I can specifically diagnose that it was because of their Christian conservatism that led them to that, but they seem to be, it seems to be that having at least some fundamental principles on which you build your worldview provides consistency, and that will be proven throughout time, even if the whatever the politics of the day shifts.
Yeah.
And so, I think it's brought a lot of people like myself, and then a lot of people like, I didn't know this, but when you agreed to come on the show, I went and sort of looked at, I did my due diligence to some respect.
What'd you find?
You have a Bible study.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So
that's something new.
I've been doing it for the last 2 years or so, and we're actually on break right now, and we're coming back to resume season 2 of Bible study very soon. The reason I'm doing that, so I was baptized. I was baptized Catholic, and but I hadn't and haven't gone to church since I was a young kid. I'm talking like under 10 years old. And religion and faith have always been just on the outside to me. I've never been like an atheist or like hostile necessarily, but I've always kind of adopted the agnostic perspective of like, this God concept is unknowable to us. So I'm not going to expend energy trying to know the unknowable. And that had been my perspective until, I don't know, maybe the last 5 years. And within that time, as everything has gone crazy in the way that you're describing, where there are no rules, up is down, left is right, anything goes, I've become very clear that there is an objective order to the world. There is an objective morality to the world. Right and wrong are concepts that exist outside of us. And I think there are rules to the world that existed before we were here and will exist after we're here. For me, the question is, who is the author of those rules? Where did those rules come from? And so I've been very curious to learn more or explore that question more. And there's a member in my audience who's just, he's very well studied in theological topics and especially Christian faith of really all types. And so he offered to help me out with a Bible study that would be really what I was looking for, which is like, can we study the scripture with in a way that is fair to the competing interpretations of it and just sort of discuss what it means on a week by week basis. So we did John's gospel last year. And then right now we're halfway or so through Acts. And it's been great. It's an open study for anyone in my audience. And so we've got kind of a nice group that participates each week. We just do it for an hour a week. And it's been really helpful for me to understand the story, I suppose, that's so fundamental to our culture and to our moral framework. I don't know if it's changed my perspective on faith yet, but there's a reason I keep going back to it. And that's because I feel compelled to do so. It provides a certain value to my life. And so I've been very happy to do it. It's not, you know, it's not quite church. It's like as close to church as I've got as an adult. But yeah, I've found it to be really valuable. And if anyone's interested in it, it's also, it's available in a podcast feed too. So people can participate in it live or they can just listen to it, you know, at their own leisure. But yeah, it's been a worthwhile project.
Right. Yeah. And I found it just by looking up Matt Christensen in Apple Podcasts and it popped up. So if anyone wants to find that, I don't know, what's the name of that specific
that
show?
That one is just Matt Christensen Bible Study. That's all okay. That is. Then, yeah.
It's pretty straightforward.
And it's on my website too.
Okay. And what's your, because you do a lot of stuff. You do the Sunday show with Blonde, which is the Matt and Blonde show.
Yeah.
Which was Beauty and the Beta.
Yep. For many years. Yeah. So, and I've recently signed on to Tenet Media started in November. So we used to do.
What is Tenet?
So Tenet is kind of a joint project. It's a project of Lauren Chen, if you know who Lauren Chen is.
Oh, you're kidding.
Why? What's
okay? So, I had actually, this is probably 6-7 years ago, started a meetup group in Montreal from a spreadsheet on your show. I don't know if you still have it or not.
I do.
It was,
yeah.
Just for fans of the show.
Yeah.
And Lauren Chen was a member of our meetup group, and I had possibly introduced her to your show. Year like back when
Lauren
it started,
Chen met up at that, one of our show's meetups.
Yeah, that I organized years ago in Montreal.
I mean, she's been on our show and she's filled in for Blonde a few times, but I didn't know that she had ever gone to like an audience meetup of our show.
Yeah, it's funny. Again, not intentionally. I had met her at, I don't know if you're familiar, it's too familiar with Canadian politics, but there's a quasi-libertarian party up here called the People's Party. It's led by Maxime Bernier, and they're sort of the closest thing we have to like right-wing politics. Mm-hmm. Again, this is a topic I want to get into post this, but I had gone to a fundraiser and ended up sitting at a table with her, my friend Mike G, shout out, Bernier, and her brother, who was running as a candidate for the party, and I was a founding member, and so I'd met her there, and I just started this meetup group a couple weeks previous and said, hey, why don't you come hang out with friends of this guy named Matt Christensen? And so she was would show up until she left the country during COVID, and I haven't
That's great, because now she's gone on to, so she and her husband have started this media company, the Tenet, and so they brought on six people to help launch it, and so it's really just kind of it's a central hub for all of our content. So I'm on it. Taylor Hansen's on it. Lauren Southern, Benny Johnson, Dave Rubin. That's six, right?
Oh, wow.
I know there are six. So,
okay.
It's just kind of a central hub for all of our content, and we all contribute there to varying degrees. For me, I'm doing a couple of I took my individual kind of short single topic videos that I had on my channel before, and I just brought them over there. And then for the Matt and Blonde show, we used to do a call-in show on Wednesday nights. It was the only thing I did that was like zero prep. You know, I'm going to sit down and people call on Discord. And yeah, there's a part of me that misses that, and I'm trying to figure out ways to bring pieces of that back. That's when you have a product like that, it can go great and it can be really interesting off the cuff conversations, and it can go very weird, but that's the fun. And So
that's a double-edged sword of zero prep.
Yeah. So with this new project, they wanted me to, and I wanted to, host a stream over there. But it was very important to me to keep the Sunday show its own thing. And so the Sunday show stayed with me on my channel. And for Tenet, I started doing a new Wednesday night show. And that's just the Matt Christensen Hour. And it's just me, obviously. And it's you know, similar news breakdown. But I'm trying to do more interviews with it, too. And specifically, I'm trying to get, like, it's tough, but I'm trying to get people who are in news stories. Like, I want to talk to people who are in the news or something interesting that's happening. It's not that I don't want to talk to other creators, and I do. But I'm hoping that I can get to a place long term where I have sort of a home to talk to people who are in these news stories that are interesting to me. And that's what I'm trying to build with it. But, you know, as I'm sure you probably understand, as someone who's trying to get guests, it's tough to do. So, you know, there's a lot of wrangling of people that's very difficult. And I hate doing that.
Scheduling. And yeah. So
I've got my producer, Tim, working on that for me. But that's another great thing about this opportunity is I'm able to kind of expand his role. He's the only thing close to an employee that I've ever had. You know, he's like my part-time guy that helps out to do the stuff that I don't want to do. And he's been great. So it's a cool opportunity for him, too.
Yeah, it's nice if you can have someone doing the booking, you know, doing the, hey,
yeah,
here's a list. Go bug them until they
agree. Talking to people. I just hate the behind the scenes, like booking, you know, secretary types. I hate that. I don't want to do that at all. So I don't.
Yeah. Okay. So that's for me. It comes naturally because I work in real estate and it's basically all you do all day.
Yeah.
And then now I do it for a hobby as well.
Yeah.
So that's excellent. Yeah. So like I'd mentioned before, again, we had talked about this previously just before jumping on. I think it'd be interesting to get your take on what seems to be, like, I'm always trying to figure out two things. A, what the hell's going on? What are my politics? What does politics even mean? Like, because I don't know if it's just because of my innate proclivities, but I end up following certain people, agreeing with certain people. They all kind of tend to be that sort of around that Gen X millennial type age, guys with similar sort of histories growing up, same thing like this. This is not a Christian show. I don't think of myself as an overtly religious person. I was raised that way. Obviously the events of COVID have brought me back. Unlike you, I did go full Hitchens.
Oh really?
I'm a recovering Hitchensite.
But you've gone full circle back. Interesting.
Yeah, in a sense, but not in a, like, I don't like to preach. I'm more sort of just, listen, what I saw during COVID seemed to be very clear to me, and I don't know exactly what was the progenitor of this, but the people who believed in God kept their sanity.
Hmm.
And the people who had rejected him and adopted whatever politics kind of comes along with that, because it's like that Dylan song, you know, you got to believe in somebody.
Yeah.
And if it's not God, then it's going to be Pfizer or communism or whatever it is, right? And it really just seemed that basic to me. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go with the sane people on this one.
Yeah.
And then it sort of piles up in a lot of ways. And then taking that same approach and looking at politics, I have a really hard time sort of figuring out, because especially what I want to get into, what's going on right now in the, if you want to call it, right-wing sphere with all these creators, like this sort of controlled demolition, civil war. I don't know what you want to call it, but shit's getting kind of ugly. And I wonder if that's just the inevitable consequence of this stuff sort of coming to the forefront and it being clear that, you know, the Democrats are done, Canada, like the Liberals are done, that's toast. And now people are, I don't know if it's directly that they're vying for power, but it seems to already be turning on itself to some degree. And I look at this and I'm like, are these people even conservative? And what is a conservative? And what is that even a politics? Because it seems to just be like Malice said, it's conservatism is liberalism driving the speed limit. But I think that's right to some degree, but it also seems like it's not even a politics per se. It's just liberals who have a boundary and they're like, okay, well, I stop here, but then they don't really have a politics. And so I'm trying to figure out what is right-wing politics. And there's the Yarvin approach of like, okay, go back to the French Revolution, it's monarchy. But I think it's even deeper than that, in that actual right-wing politics would be a politics that establishes the supremacy of God. And when you have that, when you have that, then you have that sort of that basis and that sanity that would get you through, again, something like COVID. And so I don't have a fully formed thought on any of this stuff, but that's kind of my approach. And what do you think of what's going on right now in the, I guess, the influencer right-wing sphere?
So how do the politics of placing God first and foremost explain Candace Owens' Daily Wire and Stephen Crowder and Not Gay Jared?
Simple questions.
That's an interesting way to frame it. I don't know. I actually hesitate to believe that these are related events in some grand scheme. Maybe you're right that they're... I think that these things, those two things happening right now are more coincidental than anything else. Maybe I'm naive in that, but I don't really think that there's like some big philosophical theme that explains that. I think that it just so happens.
I didn't mean to imply that there was necessarily direct linkage between all these things. It's just interesting to watch it all percolate simultaneously.
Even with the
Christian nationalism that Lindsay's calling an op, and to watch Sam Tripoli and James Lindsay fighting on Twitter, and like, what?
That has been interesting. And these are interesting events to watch too, from my perspective, because before we were live, I was mentioning, like, on my show last night, I talked for about a half hour about the Stephen Crowder, Not Gay Jared feud. And that's partly because I have a small personal connection to it. And it's also just because I want to know the truth of what happened there. I mean, there are a lot of questions I have about how all of that developed. But what's interesting to watch, just sitting back, rather than going on Twitter and, like, you know, just, you know, running my mouth about whatever I think, because I do have thoughts about it and I express them. I enjoy just watching the community in which I exist go back and forth on it. And it's not that I can't handle any disagreement with my perspective. I can. In fact, I kind of like that because it makes sure that I'm considering all pieces of the puzzle when I start to evaluate what I think of it. But I just like to see where there are these sort of wedge events like this, or events that split people within the same community, because I like to see how people I trust in a lot of other circumstances, if I can trust them in this one. And when I say trust, it doesn't mean like you must agree with me.
Right.
It's just like, through what framework do you analyze? Like, are you a jump the gun person? Are you a, like, see one piece of evidence and snap judgment? Or are you someone who is thoughtful, careful? That's what I'm looking for. And I, even with the Crowder, Not Gay Jared stuff, I see people that I tend to agree with or tend not to agree with on this particular issue. But what I'm watching for is that carefulness, like that.
Right.
That's what I'm looking. And it's just fun to watch, because I'm kind of taking mental notes. I'm like, okay, I thought this is very good, because I thought you were trustworthy and you're being trustworthy. And for others, like, okay, Now I know you're snap judgment guy. Now I know that you're, it's just interesting. And to be clear, I'm not saying like, oh, all these people are bad guys who, I'm just saying that's the value I find in it. When you, when you have these wedge issues where someone's going to disagree with you, just, or just someone's going to have a different take, just how do they form it? It's interesting to watch.
Well, and especially with the Crowder, Not Gay Jared thing, I mean, Owen Benjamin was right again. I was listening to your episode, and I didn't know that you had actually been, around Crowder and on his show sort of around the same time Owen was, because again, he's one of my other OGs. I was watching his stuff when it was Why Didn't They Laugh? Like, before he left Hollywood, even, I believe. Around when it was your show was my Monday morning, because I would watch it late, and then I'd watch Owen's, you know, live streams. And sort of, I remember when he went through that with Crowder and was like, the guy's a dick and he's being an asshole. And a lot of people turned on him then.
Yeah.
And even though I wouldn't say Owen's not necessarily someone who can be quick to judgment, he does seem to be proven right in the long term on a lot of things.
I will agree. And, you know, he's been on our show a couple times. He's fairly friendly with Blonde. I don't know him super well, but, you know, I've spoken with him a few times. And I will admit that at the split, when he split from Crowder, I've never been like hostile with Owen or thought that he was a bad guy or something. But I will definitely admit that I thought he was going pretty hard. And maybe he was. I mean, he still goes pretty hard. That's just
kind of Crowder.
Yeah, on Crowder, but Owen has just always been.
Owen kind goes
of,
hard.
Like I don't want I don't Owen mad, another... or mad at me. Like I don't want that fight. But at the time, I thought like okay,
Eminem and Owen.
At the time, my read was like this guy seems like he's kind of scorned, like he was burned and he's bitter about it. No, I mean now, I mean maybe there's some of that, but the substance of what he was saying, I think is credible. And his account of what happened with Nate Jared, I mean, it seems like that's exactly what happened. It seems like his knowledge of it was correct. So yeah, hard to argue with.
Yeah. And I don't think a lot of people could say they didn't see it coming too, because there seems to be, again, a lot of this stuff is legitimized. I never really watched Crowder. I found it like he always looks like he's on the verge of tears for some reason. And it hit me the wrong way. I just couldn't.
I thought you Canadians stuck together.
There's a lot of us. Like we're disproportionately represented in the conservative online.
Maybe does he count? Is it just that his mom is Canadian, or is he actually Canadian?
No, he grew up in Montreal.
Oh, so he is legit. Okay.
Yeah. He's one of us.
Yeah.
Whatever that's worth. But no. I mean, Montreal. Just Lauren, Viva, Crowder.
Yeah, that's right.
Me.
Yeah.
It's for some reason I don't know what it is. I think maybe because Canadians we have that outsider looking in perspective. And so it allows something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I
can't answer for it, but that's it. So what about the there's the, I guess the Candace and Daily Wire thing. And that's a whole nother barrel of monkeys. One, which I like to, you know, more watch than give an opinion on, especially given the sort of intricacies of the different aspects to that sort of disagreement, because once you get into Israel-Palestine and you know, there's a lot of people on the I guess you call it Christian nationalist right, the dissident right, who have their criticisms of the Daily Wire crew. And I'm always one of like friends are better than enemies, and like you said, your approach is just to kind of watch and see if someone's being consistent and careful and kind of make an educated opinion on them. But yeah, I don't know. How do you feel about these inherent divisions? Is this something that is inevitable?
Well, it does frustrate me that the Israel-Palestine thing seems to be inherent and an inherent division. And it's not because I demand a particular perspective on it. It's just because as an outsider and as an American, I'm frustrated to trying to understand why. Now, I understand from my own principles, as a general rule, in my view of foreign policy and our role in the international world, I really don't want to be involved in everyone's conflict. I don't want to be funding not only one side, but in a lot of cases, both sides of these wars. So that's where I come from. Like, it's not an anti, like, I'm not telling you Israel must win there must be a Palestinian state, or there must be, like, that can be resolved by the people who live there, as far as I'm concerned. But I don't want any part in my money or my resources going there to prop up a particular outcome or to destroy a particular place or to kill particular people. I know that a lot of people will criticize that perspective and say, well, it's naive to think that if you don't fight evil across the world, it won't come for you one day. I guess, I mean, but I look at the world in the same way I look at my home and my neighborhood. Like, yeah, I care that where I live is a good, clean, safe place. But my focus first and foremost is making sure that my immediate surroundings for my family are set. And if there's crime out there 100 miles from here, I agree that's a problem. It's just who's best enabled to police it. And it's not me. It's the people who live there. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the way I view the world. And so that's where I come at. That's the perspective with which I view the Israel-Palestine stuff. But for whatever reason, by the way, it doesn't bother me if you're the sort of person who is either like, no, we have to arm Israel to the teeth and make sure that they completely level Gaza. Or if you're the sort of person that says, no, this is a genocide and Israel needs to be stopped. And all like. I'm fine with either one of those perspectives. It is strange to me, though, that it's such a, like that is a foreign conflict is such a point of division for, whether we're able to get along about American politics. Yeah. And
that's it. Except how people get so into it. That's what gets me.
Yeah. It's like,
my wife's Israeli and I'm not half as interested in this conflict as most people are. And neither is she. She's like, well, I live here. And that's, I mean, especially when it's something like this, where it's like, there's good and evil on both sides and it's clear. And how are you going to, and you're going to be that, like, how could you have that steady of an opinion on something other than, I like my board. I don't want to sell them the bombs and the aid.
You know, well, that is the business that we're in now. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And it is frustrating.
Which is similar to Ukraine, same thing.
And with the Daily Wire stuff, it's tough. Like everybody seems to believe it is the Israel stuff. This, as in Candace being
their controlled opposition, right?
Well, Candace being more Israel critical, or at least U.S. policy toward Israel critical, and that being unacceptable for most of the Daily Wire. And then there's the question of like, well, was she fired? Did she leave? We don't know. I really wish there was a little bit more transparency on it. I talked about this on the Sunday stream that we had. It's again, like, you know, it's their company. That's not like they owe me an explanation of how that decision was made. But I think about this, like in my relationship with Blonde or even my relationship with Tenet or any of these other places, people with whom I cooperate, anytime you build an audience and people have an investment in that, I mean, like, not just that they support you financially, though that is part of it. I mean that, like, you know, it's their routine. They listen to this show at this time and they're used to it. I just think it's a gesture of respect to that audience to say, hey, this is stopping, but here's why. And, you know, it doesn't have to be like specific details about every little thing, but here's why this decision was made. And out of respect to you, the listener, it's just to tell you. And you may agree or you may disagree, but it's just to inform you. Like if Blonde and I ever stop our show for whatever reason, whether it's because our careers diverge or because we're at each other's throats about, I don't know, Israel, Palestine, or whatever. Like it would be my intent to just give the audience that final piece. Like, yeah, this is why. And we thank you for being a part of this, but we're going to move on to something else. If I was running the company, easy for me to say, because I'm not, and I've never managed anything of that, a business of that caliber, so who the hell cares what I think? But I would have gone with a more transparent approach. Maybe there's some reason why they can't, but anytime you don't explain in some detail, that's why people get all riled up, because that you're inviting them to theorize, you're inviting them to speculate. And then they feel burned as consumers of that product. Like, what, you don't care about me? You don't care that I've spent a bunch of money supporting it? You don't care that I listen to it every week? You're just going to tweet out, like, Candace Owens is gone now? See ya? There's just kind of an inherent disrespect to that I don't like. But, well, that's if that's the I way mean, you want to understand business, it.
As I'm doing my own show now, and stuff happens and people go different ways. And I can understand the impetus to kind of not want to create whatever drama or throw blame or get into any of that, because I think it's sort of a sign of mutual respect. Although whatever the pre-existing establishment was should, again, I think you're 100% right. Say something as long as it's truthful to clarify what happened. But I think just watching this, like, it reminds me when I started, what attracted me to the sort of right-wing sphere of content creation was that if you're watching what's going on the left with the news media and with everything else, and they're canceling anyone who didn't toe the line. And then on the other side, on the, you know, YouTube or whatever it was, it sort of seemed to be this aura of freedom and like anything goes, and we're you know what, we're the guys who let you say whatever the hell you want to say, and you're going to be cool with us. At least that was the pretense that they started under. And I guess that's what gives me this weird feeling, is watching it sort of break down, and you realize, like, oh no, there are lines, and people have their lines, and there are it's just as fractured as the other side. It just sort of had to come to a certain level of prominence for that to start to show up.
Yeah.
And maybe that's inevitable.
Well, and it's frustrating. And I guess many would say revealing that line, at least in this context, is the interest of a foreign country or a foreign power. I understand that there are good reasons to have lines. if you're a publisher of a particular philosophy, you want to advance that philosophy, you know? I mean, it's the same reason I suppose if I was setting up my own thing, I'm not that interested in working with, say, actual communists unless it's like a commie debate show. You know, there are sort of lines. I'm not right. looking to censor commies either, but I may not want to work with them.
So you would host Destiny?
Why is he a commie? I don't know.
Anyone hasn't watched Destiny the Destiny takes, Peterson debate?
I've seen clips. It does seem like
I reserve comment. Just watch it.
The whole thing just plays like a meme. He's talking really fast and Jordan Peters, well, why the hell not? Or whatever, you know, just going off on him.
Match made in heaven.
It looks pretty hilarious. So I'll have to check that out. But anyway, the point I'm making is like philosophically, I get why you might have boundaries about with whom you're willing to work or what ideas you'd like to advance and what you wouldn't. But man, is it frustrating when it's not necessarily an American interest that is that stopping mm-hmm. point. It's the interest of a foreign power. And I think that's what everyone's frustrated with.
And the AIPAC influence and all kinds of stuff. And, yeah. I think we should, again, Canada's got its own issues, but I think treason is something that should be given more weight these days. Like, it's okay. Listen. Yeah. Someone in a mixed race marriage to someone with dual passports who's openly says, yeah, there's conflicts of interest, and there's the dual loyalty is not a anti-Semitic slur. These are real things, and they're real issues that people should be able to discuss without being called names.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with being loyal to your country and your people. And I think that the Americans are a people and they do have the right to self-preservation and borders and all that kind of stuff, just like anybody else. And the sins of the father is, was that in a black eyes or something?
I don't know.
Ends up with a black eye. Is that how that goes?
A lot of times, at least in our country's politics, we're dealing not with sins of the father, but sins of like your great granddaddy. Yeah. Maybe
those settlers, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, we'll see. I think, to tie those two together, I don't know if you've seen, but Candace is trying to recruit Hillary Crowder to do a show.
Oh, no, no way.
That will be very interesting if that happens. That will light the internet on fire. Yeah, so we'll see if that comes to fruition.
Yeah. Has Hillary ever done? I've only heard her name for the first time, I think, on listening to your show, which I wanted to throw you a compliment, by the way. I really like the way you structured the Matt Christensen hour, because you do like a half hour of your own on the politics and then a half hour interview. I like that. It's clean. It keeps it fresh.
Yeah. I like to do that mix. I think that, you know, an hour guest interview is great when the guest is up for that and there's something engaging and compelling to talk about. That's not always the case. And for me, like I'm trying to talk to guests usually about a specific story, and I like to kind of have it in and out in 20 minutes, maybe a half hour. And yeah. And the other side of that is every week there's always something that I want to talk about. So I don't want to devote my time just to the guest interview. So that's kind of the reason mm-hmm. I've tried to structure it the way that I have, but I appreciate that. I mean, I was sincere in what I was saying. Like, yeah, I have a personal, maybe even a slight emotional connection to this, but I'm really not looking to destroy someone. I'm not looking to make it some dunk contest. I want to know what happened. And the way mm-hmm. I viewed those videos that Jared put out and that Gerald Morgan, Crowder's CEO, put out, they were almost like competing opening statements in a court case or something like that. So I kind of wanted to treat it that way. Like, all right, you guys have your say. And then let's think about what is missing in either case and sort of go through those. So that's kind of the way I wanted to structure it. And so I appreciate the compliment. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I think you did a great job. You did give me a hard out, so I think we'll call it around now. But you have everyone watching, you have my encouragement to go check out Matt's specific episode on that. I don't remember the episode title or number, but it's your most recent one on the Matt Christensen Hour podcast. Go ahead and plug all of your shows, all the things that you do. I know we touched on each of them, but round it all up for everybody.
Yeah. MattChristensenMedia.com is where you can find everything I make. Matt Christensen is Christian like the religion, S-E-N. And to simplify things, this may sound absurd, but someone, a gag in my audience is your URL is, or a guy in my audience said, your URL is too long. You need to simplify it. And back a little while ago, I think it was during Pride Month last year, PayPal, no, it wasn't PayPal, GoDaddy for Pride Month was offering .gay domains. You could be like this.gay. And so someone for me bought mattis.gay. And so if you go to mattis.gay,
does it point to
it goes straight to my website, mattis.gay. You can find everything I make there.
You just broke my heart of jealousy. And
it was great. Like I love the bit. I lean into it. So yeah.
That's awesome. All right. Well, thank you very much for coming on. The invite is open. Like you say, with this show, we don't really have an agenda. I just want to talk to people that I find interesting, and you're one of the best. So I can't thank you enough for
thanks for hosting. And of course, thanks for tuning in as long as you have. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, and all the best.